Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. To see PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
This is The Guardian.
Just a warning before we start. This episode contains references to Indigenous Australians who have died. Regid Ahmed here, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the Sunday Read. In the wake of the death of Walpri girl Kumanjaya Little Baby, the Northern Territory government announced a sweeping review of the region's child protection system. The terms of the inquiry, however, have been met with criticism by a large number of First Nations and justice organisations. Professors Fiona Stanley and Marcia Langton argue the Territory Government is repeating mistakes of the past and failing Aboriginal children. Here's Marcia Langton.
The Northern Territory Government's response to the tragic death of Kumanjaya Little Baby in Alice Springs is deeply alarming. The weight of evidence is unambiguous. Supportive services for the health and well-being of mothers, carers and children are what best ensure the safety, healthy growth and socialisation of Aboriginal children. Yet, the Northern Territory Government has chosen an inquiry headed by a former police commissioner with no Aboriginal involvement and is simultaneously eradicating child protection officers. Widespread criticism of the inquiry's terms of reference has done nothing to change course. The statistics demand attention. Aboriginal children make up only about 20% of the Northern Territory's child population, yet they represent 90% of children in the child protection system and 95% of children detained. As the Uluru Statement from the Heart puts it plainly, it is not because they are not loved. Too often, media, columnists, leaders and politicians reach for the law and order response, demanding approaches that cause more harm than good. Understanding the social determinants of children's health and safety requires a different lens altogether. The evidence for what works is not new. In 2015, there were 75 Aboriginal community-controlled family and children's services across the nation, successfully helping Aboriginal children find pathways to participation in Australian society. The Abbott, Turnbull and Morrison governments axed them. The children who depended on those services are now teenagers. They missed out on the nurturing environments that help young people avoid out-of-home care, suicide, truancy and detention. The consequences are visible in the town camps around Alice Springs and across many Northern Territory communities. The Howard government's Northern Territory intervention offers an even starker lesson. Ostensibly aimed at reducing child sexual abuse following the Little Children Are Sacred report, it was hugely costly, opposed by virtually every Aboriginal organisation and by any measure a disaster. Child sexual abuse increased every year after the intervention. No lessons appear to have been learned. We have clear and consistent evidence that when Aboriginal people are engaged in service provision, those services are trusted and used. When they are administered by non-Aboriginal bureaucrats, typically remote from the communities they serve, they fail. Robin Granitz, the grandfather of Kumanjaya Little Baby, has put it directly. We understand the language, the culture, the lived experience. Two patterns explain successive government failures. First, most Aboriginal-controlled welfare services in early childhood, health, child protection, education, diversionary programs and justice are either chronically underfunded or have had their funding cut entirely. Second, services developed and implemented without Aboriginal input consistently fail to deliver. ABSEC, the Aboriginal Child, Family and Community Peak Organisation in New South Wales, has documented this clearly, despite decades of reviews and policy commitments to shift investment, the New South Wales child protection system remains overwhelmingly crisis-driven. The majority of funding continues to flow to out-of-home care, with only a modest proportion directed to early intervention and family support. As ABSEC has reported, the failure to meaningfully shift funding toward earlier supports and Aboriginal community-controlled organisation-led services perpetuates the overrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children at every stage of the child protection system. It fails to acknowledge the deep strengths that Aboriginal families bring to raising children strong in culture. The same finding has been replicated across every Australian jurisdiction. We need early family support interventions rather than criminalisation and institutionalisation of children. The latter dehumanises children, leads to social dislocation and, in too many cases, to prison. A growing number of Aboriginal children have spent their entire lives cycling through institutional systems. Some communities have built their own responses to this injustice. For more than 30 years, the Mari Ma Health Aboriginal Corporation has supported Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families and children across Willyakali and Barkindji country in far west New South Wales, including Broken Hill and surrounding communities. These models exist, but there are far too few of them to meet the accelerating levels of need. The Secretariat of National Aboriginal and Islander Childcare made the case plainly in its 2025 Family Matters Report, recommending that the Australian government commit to a national, systematic and sustainable approach to funding community-led integrated early years services. The Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander early years sector, SNAIC argues, offers one of the most powerful opportunities for changing trajectories for children and families, providing support that is culturally grounded, holistic, trauma-informed, and responsive to complex needs. If only such services existed at the scale required. Large-scale reform and sustained investment in healing and strengthening families are what is needed to reverse current rates of child removal. Such reforms must be developed in full partnership with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. The Northern Territory Inquiry should have invited Catherine Little, CEO of SNAIC, to sit on its panel. It should have invited Robin Granitz to share his wisdom about the interactions between Aboriginal people and the justice system. If those conducting the inquiry were willing to listen, they might yet get some of this right.
That was Marcia Langton reading an article she co-authored with Fiona Stanley. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Daniel Simo on Wurundjeri land. The series producer is Karishma Luthria. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.